Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Hello, hello, amazing, beautiful, beautiful people. It is Harmony here with the wonderful Mel. We are coming to you with an evolution to your higher self edition. So me and Mel are good friends, are work colleagues. I am an Ayurveda women's health practitioner and the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. And Mel is a trauma-informed life coach and also the student success mentor and mindset mentor in the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. And we're coming together for a special little series on the podcast called Evolution of Your Higher Self. So we'll be doing some co-hosting, which is super excited. We did super exciting, I should say. We did our very first episode a fortnight ago, and we're going to be coming together once a fortnight to do these episodes after many requests. So we're really excited to bring these to you guys. We're just having real and raw conversations. And on that being real and raw, today we are talking about nurturing self-compassion and embracing your wholeness. Now, on that, as I mentioned, talking real and raw, I am absolutely freaking exhausted right now. Like, I'm so tired. I'm in the middle of uni prac, creating courses for my business, moving house, building a house to move into, and you know what it's like running after the kids, doing all of the school things and the soccer, after school sports, everything's going on. So I'm quite knackered, and I'm going to be nurturing my self-compassion. Usually I would just shut up and get on with it and not let anybody know, but I feel like I might fumble a few of my words because that happens when I'm really tired, and it also happens when I'm getting close to menstruating. So I said to Mel, how are you feeling? She's like, I'm good, I'm all energized, like she always is, a little energized buddy. And I said, great, you'll be taking the reins on this episode, because if we're talking about nurturing self-compassion, I need to do that for myself and embrace my wholeness and be completely honest that I am not, I probably don't feel my higher self today. But if I'm nurturing my own self-compassion, then I guess that's all part of it, because we're all human. So thank you for being here. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Harmony. I love how you're just so real, so honest, saying how it is, because we're all women and we go through all the things. But, you know, you're just amazing. You are juggling it all, and you always show up no matter how you're feeling. So I just want to give it back to you and say you're awesome and I love you. And I will definitely take the reins today, because I'm feeling like a little energy bunny. I'll take it through today.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I do think this topic is so needed, because we can get really lost in our busyness. And when we do that, especially as mothers or businesswomen or just women in general, we often lose that connection to self. And that's where we find the burnout and things like that stemming from, and lack of motivation, lack of desire, whether that's desire to follow your dreams or desire to go to work or even desire to have sex. Like, it just all goes out the window when you're not nurturing that self-compassion, right?
Yeah, definitely. And going straight into it, we're talking about self-compassion. I would love to share a story about how I use, you know, self-compassion on getting through some difficult times. So I know that exactly like you said, when you're running around and you're a mother, it's so easy to put yourself second. Like it's so easy for you, and using your current situation, Harmony, it's so easy to say, you know what, oh, I'm just going to suck it up. I've got to do the things. Like I don't have time to sit down and rest. Like I'm menstruating and my body's feeling exhausted, plus all the things and mental stuff going on. It's so easy to say, just suck it up and get on with it, right? But if you had seen a friend going through what you're going through, or if you have an adult daughter, a teenage daughter going through what they're going through, would you say, just suck it up and get through it? You'll be right. She'll be right, mate. You know, that Aussie mentality of she'll be right, mate. No, she's not going to be right, mate. You know, you would be saying, you need some time rest. Can I help you? Let me help you. Let me take the kids. Let me do this. Just rest. So when we think about, okay, we would do that for someone else, we have to do that for us. You know, we are this beautiful being. And when we put ourselves to the side and go, oh, you'll be right, there is no self-love. There is no self-respect. Right. And we're not able to show up the best version of ourselves. And then we're putting on layers of more trauma. Like if anyone's gone through trauma or challenging times, you know, that self-worth comes in and go, oh, I'm not worthy to sit down and rest. Well, I have to keep on going, because if I don't, what are people going to think about me? But when you switch it up and go, you know what, stuff this, I'm going to take some time to just rest. Like yesterday I was feeling a bit sick and I had all this stuff I needed to get, tick all the boxes. I went, my body was just wrecked. It's like, you know what, I'm going to have an ice cream, shouldn't when I'm not well, but I'm going to have an ice cream. And I just stood out the sun when the dog's running and I was just swaying, closing my eyes in the sun and eating ice cream, and just was really self-compassion with, what am I going through right now? You know, what am I going through? Telling myself it is okay and giving myself kudos, like, you've cleaned up the house today. You've ticked off so much off your boxes. So like for you, Harmony, you know, I showed up to prac. I'm doing amazing by showing up when my husband's at work and I'm taking the kids and acting like that single mother. You know, I'm doing studying. I'm showing up to podcasts. You're amazing and you're doing a good job. So I think we need to change the conversation and make it not taboo and make it normalize showing up and saying, stopping and going, acknowledging what we're going through and praising ourselves. Let's not wait for an external validation, like you're doing a good job. How many times have you gone, like, I know me, like, hubby, can you just say thank you? You know, I'm not feeling well. Can you just say thank you? I've just cooked dinner and I've had to go take the kids and I've cleaned up and no one's saying thank you to me. You know, why are we waiting for an external validation? Let's thank ourselves.
I also think it's, we give ourselves that internal validation and this badge of being a strong woman if you can just push through it and not show or break emotionally, or, you know, break down, yell at the kids, whatever it may look like for each individual. But I think we associate with being able to push through and just get on with it and do our things as a sign of strength. And I know I've definitely done this in the past. And I was always told, like growing up, you know, you're a strong person, you can cope with a lot. And so I've worn that as, I have to be strong and I have to cope with a lot. And so even when I would self-sabotage myself by taking on way too many things, I would always make sure it was all done, because to me, that was me being really strong. And in another sense, it was also me proving my worth to the world. Like I am proving my worth, that I am capable, I am here, I am strong. But as we get a little bit older and a little bit wiser, and we understand the beautiful connection to ourself and the deep wisdom principles of Ayurveda, we really start to understand that it's actually a weakness. It's not a strength, because we're letting our own self down. And when we can't have self-compassion, when we can't nurture ourselves and what we need, and when we can't realize and understand what we need in each moment, that there is not a strength, right? It's actually the opposite. So I have found that by understanding myself, by taking the body's clues that they're giving me, my mental health, like how I'm feeling in my mind and my emotions, and really starting to understand that, and even practicing the qualities of Svadhyaya, which we say in Ayurveda, it's a Sanskrit word for self-study. And this practice really encourages self-reflection and self-awareness. And by understanding our strengths and our weaknesses and emotions, we can really cultivate more self-acceptance and compassion. And I think this is a huge point to consider when we're talking about nurturing self with compassion. It starts with that self-study. And self-study is one of the pathways to yoga. And know when I say the word yoga, people think of asanas or postures, but really yoga is the union, that uniting, that yoking with the divine. So being able to study self helps you move into this new awareness and this new state of evolving to your higher self. So I think nurturing self-compassion starts with that self-study, and also ahimsa, which is another Sanskrit word to explain that non-harming. And you know, when we hear this word for the first time, we might think harming others or physically harming ourselves, but it can be about non-harming in the way we speak to ourselves, or non-harming in the way that we overwork ourselves, overdo ourselves, do what I used to do and do all the things just to prove your worth, or just to prove that you are strong and that you're a capable woman. So that when I was acting from that place, I am not abiding to the ethical or morals of ahimsa, non-harming, because it actually is harming my internal and my external world.
I love that. I love how, you know, Ayurveda and the principles, and I think that falls under the psychology, you really use it for that self-inquiry. And it's a beautiful tool just to kind of stop and see where you are and go, oh, okay, where am I not being self-compassionate with myself? And when you were talking, it came to me that for me on my journey with being able to be self-compassionate with some of the childhood traumas that I went through is to have that forgiveness. Now, I really struggled with forgiveness for, you know, third parties' involvement, but it was really forgiving myself for the pressure, the self-harming, you like you said, that pressure that you put on yourself, the questions of I should have done that, or it was my fault, or, you know, let that go, and forgive yourself for feeling how you felt for many years for that moment in time. And once you're able to let that go and you bring forgiveness for yourself and bring that self-inquiry, then you can switch it to go have that self-compassion. Because if you're not going to forgive yourself and you're holding on and you're doing all the self-harming, then it's so hard to switch it up and to come into that self-compassionate state. And Harmony, I wanted to ask you, when someone is holding on to all that heaviness and all that, you know, pushing themselves for perfection and not really taking the lens or taking the step back to bring self-compassion, how is that playing a significant role in our body? How does that show up from an Ayurveda lens?
Yeah, brilliant question. And like, as we know, Ayurveda is such an individual medicine for each person. We all have a unique constitution that plays out differently in the way that we respond and react and how we present ourselves in the environment. So it can look different for different people, of course. But in the body, if we're harboring emotions, or we're not expressing our truth, ourself, we're self-harming in the way me and Mel are talking about, as in not being kind to self. We're not talking about sitting there and cutting or burning ourselves per se, even though that is a legitimate self-harm way of self-harming physically, but we're talking about this internal self-harm that we do to ourselves on a daily basis. And it creates this chronic stress response in our body. And when we have this chronic stress response, it directly affects our hormones. You may have noticed that if you are under a period of stress for a long amount of time, your body may shut down to the extent where you're not ovulating anymore. So therefore, you're not having a period anymore. Some people might be saying, like, you know, I've got really scanty periods. I'm not bleeding very heavy, or it's just gone missing and I have no idea why. And we don't often associate that we're being in this state of chronic stress from our own self-harming thoughts to have put our body in this state. So it's really important to know that when we're not nurturing ourselves from the inside out, we can be putting a lot of stress and strain on our hormones. So for a woman, that is so important because our hormones are chemical messengers that will govern our menstrual cycle. It will govern the way we think, the way we feel, our emotions, our connection to self, our thyroid, our metabolism, like just so much, you know, so many things. So it's really important to know that there are physical responses in the body from neglecting to nurture yourself. The other way that it can really manifest, and from like an Ayurvedic perspective, we talk about this buildup of armor in the body. And armor is, it can be toxins, so it can be physical toxins from our environment, from undigested food, medication, pharmaceutical medication, even like overload of herbs, whatever it might be. We can create toxins, physical toxins in our body, but we can also create emotional and mental armor. And that's the buildup of emotions. That's the buildup of not being able to process how we're feeling, not being able to process our thoughts, not having clarity or vision, and holding and bottling all that up inside. And we know that this emotional armor can start to feel like headaches in some people, hip pain, tight shoulders, tight neck. Like as individuals, our armor has an affinity for different parts of our body where it will show up and it will manifest. And that generally also coincides with your bioconstitution, which is your Ayurvedic dosha. So if you're more of a Vata type of person, you might start to get more of those Vata type headaches. You might start to get really flighty, anxious, really stressed. You might get hip pain because hips are one of the seats of Vata. You might get really bloated. You might get constipated. It'll show up in those elements in the body. Whereas if you're Pitta, it might turn into more anger, more profuse sweating, more irritability, more like the heat sort of headaches that you can get, diarrhea. And if you're more of a Kapha constitution, it can start to manifest in the body as like this fluid retention, like you're retaining everything, this slow and sluggish digestive system. It can manifest in the way of like over attachment to things, feeling really jealous or a little bit like you want to hoarder everything and hold on to everything, lack of motivation, really slow and lethargic, depressed. So depending on our own individual bioconstitution, neglecting to self-nurture and self-care will show up in different manifestations. And also on top of that, being a female, it will also show up on your hormonal profile as well.
And it's crazy you say that, like just from one little thing about not having self-compassion and self-inquiry and just pushing and pushing, which it is, it's, you look everywhere in this society, it's just go, 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 go. You really start to see all the effects that you can have on like it can have on the body. And I want to just share an example of my story when before I came and seen you, Harmony, like with my sexual trauma when I was younger. I was in that, like you said, that chronic stress state. I was in that survival mode for so many years from when I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old, that constant survival mode. And by the time I was 15 years old, I had already got diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS. And I just had really severe acne and even adult acne. And then in my early 20s, I had psoriasis all through my head. I had really dry skin, bloatingness, all gastroenteritis, all the things. And I just didn't know why. And it wasn't until I came and seen Harmony and I went through her 6 weeks cleanse that I then found the power of Ayurveda and letting a lot of that stuff go, forgiving myself, slowing down, connecting with myself, and just giving so much self-love and nurturing and compassion. And that was only a 6 week period, and it was such a profound effect that it had on me. I just went, I need to learn Ayurveda, I need to understand it. And that's when I enrolled into the Ayurveda Alchemist. And it was just life-changing, all the knowledge that I've learned through the Ayurveda Alchemist, how I'm able to now balance myself. And like you spoke about before, Harmony, the anger. I didn't realize that was part of it until you said it. And I'm like, I used to be so angry and I didn't know why when I was little. I used to bash things up and punch things. And my mom's like, oh my God, you look like crazy. Just calm down, calm down. And it wasn't until I went through Ayurveda and implementing it and living an Ayurvedic lifestyle that I am so chill and calm. Just don't mess with me right before my period, because I may not be but any other time in my cycle. I am just so like, I have so much calmness. I don't have like big arguments in my relationship. So just the power of Ayurveda and just understanding it has been just a really big game changer. And now I've got my menstrual cycles are like 28 day cycles. My psoriasis has all come down. My bloatiness has come down. I'm not a big angry monster every single day. My adult acne's calmed down. So it's just been crazy. And that is just by not doing the self-harming, as in the negative thoughts that come in my head, understanding my body and when it needs to rest, just rest. You know, there are some periods in life where you just kind of go, but you're then being able to catch yourself, draw in that compassion and then calm back down. But there are some beautiful Ayurveda practices that allow you to start bringing yourself down and self-love and self-compassion. So can you share some of these with us, Harmony?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously it always starts with self-awareness. Like I said, that self-study. So not so much of a specific practice, but you can make specific practices around that, whether that be journaling or even practicing meditation, so that you can really start to connect deeper to yourself. Breath work is a beautiful way to do that, because we introduce this prana, this life force energy that fills our body, and we start to connect back into the body and allowing our mind and body and spirit all to align and connect. Because a lot of the time we are so busy and we're out of our body, we're out of our mind, all our experiences are externally, there's all this external output going on instead of pratyahara, which is withdrawing those senses within. And so that's what breath work and meditation is really beautiful at doing, is actually initiating that self-study, that self-practice. But there are some other practical Ayurvedic techniques that we do, and to cultivate more of that nurturing self-compassion. And one beautiful method is called Abhyanga, or self-Abhyanga, which is a beautiful oil self-massage. So even doing this, you're really connecting to yourself. The word for oil in Ayurveda is actually sneha, which is also translated to love. So it's like you're loving yourself with this oil, you're moisturizing your skin with this oil, you're absorbing all of this. And I like to share with my clients sometimes, especially if they are going through some limiting beliefs or they haven't nurtured their self-compassion, is to do this whilst either repeating in your head or out loud a mantra or an affirmation that really resonates with you. And if you aren't comfortable with that, just playing some really beautiful sound resonance. So when you're massaging your skin and you're taking the time to touch your body and to connect with your body and yourself, you're also allowing the resonance of the sound to penetrate into your heart and to your body, and just really love up on yourself. So that's one of the Ayurvedic techniques that we use for a lot of love and compassion. The other I would say is movement, and moving your body in a way that feels really good, that really honors you and how you want to show up. And again, I know from my own experience, I always had that sort of like, harden the fuck up attitude and show your strength. So of course I was like a high intensity hit girl. I was like all about the strength, busting out the huge workouts, going for long runs, doing like, you know, a Muay Thai boxing session and then doing 10K run. And look, I still love doing some of that sometimes, like Muay Thai. I love doing that. I love going for a run, but that'll be on different days now. And all along, all I really wanted, I was always like, oh, I wish I could just like do some Pilates and yoga and feel like that's enough. And again, over the years and implementing Ayurvedic principles and understanding my body better, I have been able to transition to exercise that is so much more nurturing for my mind, body, and soul. And then I'm actually waking up in the mornings and really enjoying wanting to get to that class, wanting to wake up at 5 a.m. to go and do that type of movement, where I wasn't specifically waking up energized, excited to go and exercise when I was just flogging myself every day, 6 days a week. Like, it just wasn't healthy. I wasn't happy. I was completely run down, exhausted. I ended up with adrenal fatigue. And now I'm in so much more of a balanced place and just loving the movement. I really see that as nurturing myself and really honoring my own self-compassion. And then I think the other really important Ayurvedic principle is a nourishing self-care routine, which we call Dinacharya in Ayurveda, which is implementing routines to make you feel whole, but also to make your body and your mind feel safe and grounded. So depending on your bioconstitution, so your dosha, you would create a routine, and it doesn't have to be long, just any type of, well, not any type, like a type of routine that serves your mind-body constitution in the morning and the evening. And so again, mine would be waking up. I like to wake up before the sunrise. Well, it's definitely before the sunrise here in winter or with the sunrise in summer. And I make a beautiful warm tea and I watch that sun. Well, first I wash my face, scrape my tongue. I go and then watch the sunrise, which is a beautiful cup of tea. And then I practice some mindfulness, whether that be some breath work, a few meditative breaths. And then I go and I move my body, and then I'll come back and I'll get the kids ready for school and take them to school. And then I'll have a beautiful nurturing breakfast for my bioconstitution, my individual dosha. And then I start work. And in the evenings, I like to do a grounding meditation with my legs up the wall and just release everything from the day. Depending on my mood and my emotions, I might add in some journaling, some reflection if I really have a lot of questions and I'm feeling stuck in my head. And the other thing that I do throughout the day is I'll take like micro breaks and do it might be 2 minutes worth of breath work, but in between different tasks. And I always love to take my dogs for a walk in the middle of the day if it's not too hot. If it is hot, more at the end of the day, go and see the beach, be out in the sunshine, and just be with my puppy dogs because I love them.
They're so cute too. They are so cute.
So that's, yeah, I think they're my sort of go-to, the way I nurture myself. But Mel, I'm interested from your perspective because you're also a trauma-informed practitioner. So I would love to hear some trauma-informed techniques for cultivating self-compassion.
Yeah, definitely. So with the from a trauma formed legs is lens, first and foremost, just realize that, you know, giving yourself so much self-love and that forgiveness part that I spoke about, and knowing that trauma is the emotions from trauma is stored in your body. So exactly what Harmony was saying, you can't just talk yourself out of these feelings, because that is not self-love, right? We really need to start moving the emotions because it gets stuck, and moving it in your body. That's why movement is so important. And I'm going like this as I talk because I'm feeling it, you know, it's all in your body, and to move. And
I so know when you're in the moment, Mel, because I've noticed no matter what we're doing at the moon circles, whatever we're doing together, if you start swaying, I'm like, oh, she's feeling it. She's got that Shakti rising. I know, like even podcasting, if I just see you moving side to side, I'm like, oh, she's feeling this. It's coming from the soul.
Oh. But yeah, I didn't even notice, but yeah, glad you noticed. But yeah, the emotions are stuck into the body. So movement is a great way to get it out. And coming from my experiences, you know, when I was molested for several years there, I was very disconnected from my body, very disconnected. I didn't feel confident in my body. I was very what's that word when you're just
conscious.
Yeah, very, very self-conscious. Even in the hot of summer, I'd wear long pants. I'll always have my hair down to cover. I would never want to show my body. And it wasn't only until probably within the last 10 years that I started really connecting with my body, and even more so when I started studying Ayurveda, went through Ayurveda through the studying Ayurveda through Ayurveda Alchemist, and I started doing the self Abhyanga. That was a game changer to connect into my body. So I do that every single morning, where I just get the oil and I love on myself so much. I went through practices where I had to stand because I was so uncomfortable, stand in front of the mirror and look at myself and tap into that gratitude and really give thanks for my body to keep me alive every single day. It is a vessel. We don't stop to think about our heartbeat beating every single moment. We don't stop to think about our stomach carrying, was a womb carrying and creating life. We don't stop to think about our breasts creating food and nourishment for our children, you know, and I have stretch marks all over me and I used to hate it. So I really, that self Abhyanga every single day is beautiful. I play beautiful music and really give time to honor my body and connect and feel okay with touching myself, because I never did.
I was going to say, for you specifically with your background, doing that Abhyanga to yourself, I guess it would like embody that sense of safe touch, which you've been probably, and you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe a bit more fearful of other people touching you or even yourself, because there's that safety component of touch that's been ripped away from you from a child.
Oh, 100%. Like I remember just even at Christmas time, and I'm still going through my journey of feeling okay with that touch and not feeling like, oh my God. So we're at Christmas with some of the mums and having a few drinks and food. And we started going down that topic of, you know, as women do when they get together, using toys and self-exploration and pleasure and all this stuff. And I noticed myself, just my whole body just kind of tensing up. And I felt very uncomfortable, not uncomfortable with the conversation, but the uncomfortable of the thought of touching myself in any way, shape or form. So this has really helped me into being okay to touch myself and not like going to that freeze response. So, you know, it's working with the trauma, working to release that emotion. So, and like you said, when you're working with trauma, the first thing that you need to do is cultivate safety. If you're not cultivating safety when you're trying to release these emotions, then your body is stuck in a fight, flight, freeze, or fawn mode. So it's really cultivating safety. So Abhyanga was beautiful. Like you said, it really cultivated that safety, you know, my nervous system relaxed with the thought of touching myself in order for me to just be okay with touching myself and going, okay, this is beautiful. And then I bring in a lot of movement. I felt very uncomfortable in dancing and movement, like why are people looking at me, like, but now I play beautiful, like goddess kind of music, just sensual, gorgeous music. And I will just stop what I'm doing and I'll just move that body. If I'm feeling a bit fearful or scared or overwhelmed, I would just play music like I did yesterday. I was feeling a bit down. I'll go outside in the sun and just move. And once you feel that movement, it gets you out of your head in that constant go, 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 gets you out of that head, connects you back into your body, into your higher self, where your mind is not controlling, but your soul, she's controlling, and just embodying her and feeling her. Then you're able to connect back into your higher self and then move forward with whatever you need to do in the day. And that is so self-compassion. And when I do that, I really tap into that version, that fearful version, or that overwhelmed version, or that I need to go and be perfect version, and go, it is okay. It is okay to let go. I love you. And then keep playing. So it's really important to, one, cultivate safety from a trauma lens, to do what is right for you, whether it's some self Abhyanga, whether it's going for a walk, and keep in your mind that, I've got to do a morning routine, I've got to do the Abhyanga, I've got to go out for a walk, I've got to do the exercise. If it doesn't feel good, then don't do it. Do what is right or what feels good for you, and change how you're speaking. Instead of I have to do this, change it to I choose to do it, I get to do it, I get to wake up early in the morning to give back to myself. I choose to show up for myself. I choose self-love. And for me, pushing out weights. I hate it, but I love going for walks. Do you know what I mean? I love going for walks. I love breathing. I love putting, you know, mindful stuff in my head. If you ask me to get up at 5 o'clock and go to the gym and push out weights, I'll be like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. You know, so don't do it. If it doesn't feel right for you, don't do it. Cultivate a beautiful morning dinataria for yourself, a nighttime routine for yourself that fills your soul, that brings you back into safety, you know, that gets you out of your head, connects you back into your body, into your higher self. So yeah, that's probably my three tips. Cultivate safety, create a routine that serves you and fuels you. And if you're feeling stuck or overwhelmed or any of those kind of feelings, you've got to connect back into your body, play some music, do some movement. If that's not your thing, go out for a walk, do some yoga, do something that just gets that energy moving, because emotions moving, emotions just energy. And if it's stuck in your body, it needs to move, it needs to transmute, it needs to go out.
I think a really important point you made was reframing the way that you perceive things. And I think it's so empowering, just so powerful to change the statement of I have to do this to I choose to do this, because when you choose to do that, you are in control, you're in charge, you're empowering yourself to make the decisions to optimize your health and well-being. And so when you choose to show up as your higher self, when you choose to do an honoring self-care when routine, or you choose to nurture your self-compassion, you are the epitome of an empowered woman. Like that is empowerment. That is self-empowerment, self-realization. It's self-study, because you are understanding what you need and what you're going to choose for yourself in that moment. So I think just to wrap the episode up, I really love to touch on the piece, and I know we've touched on it a little bit, but more around that self-acceptance for where you're at the moment, because where you're at is perfect. It's where you are in your journey. So it doesn't matter if you have absolutely no routine, if you've got no self-compassion for yourself, if you know you're listening to this and you're going, oh my God, I'm like so far from what they're saying. That is absolutely fine and beautiful, because we're all on our own unique journeys. And I want you to honor where you're at and also honor where you would like to go and to make some small little steps towards that. But it always starts with that self-acceptance, because self-acceptance is nurturing self-compassion. No matter who you are, where you're at on your journey, being able to accept it is the very first step of nurturing that self-compassion. And that goes for our business women out there who feel that they should be so much further ahead in their business, but they're not quite there yet. Actually, start to accept and be grateful for where you are, and honor yourself for where you are in that journey. We've got to really honor ourselves. And, you know, life is a big journey. It's a game. It's like all of these things. It's not this end destination other than the grave, if you want to think of it like that. But that's a little bit doom and gloom. So let's just go with, whilst we're here on this earth, like there's no end point. So just accepting where you are.
And I love everything that you're saying. And it reminds me of a statement that I always, or message that I always tell myself, is I am not broken. So I want to tell you girls that you are not broken. You are whole and complete just the way you are. And then as we go through life, sometimes we get off track or disconnected or tired or overwhelmed. It does not make you broken. No matter what events that have happened in your life or what you've journeyed through, you are not broken. You are home. And when you feel that you are broken, you are not. You're just disconnected from who you are. So we got to find these, like all these beautiful little tips to find ourselves, to come back home to ourselves. And it's not, and you know, when I was going through trying to heal my trauma for so many years, it's not all these big things that you got to do to come back into your wholeness. It's just the small little things that you got to do, the self, you know, inquire about yourself, the self-compassion, do a little bit of self-love, change the way you wake up or what you eat, you know, taking time for yourself. And you just do those small little things, like Harmony said, and that's how you start cultivating self-compassion, self-love, and embracing your wholeness, because you are whole and you're not broken.
Perfectly said. And to finish it off, Mel, what is your one, in one sentence, what is your tip to start nurturing self, either self-compassion, self-acceptance, which is all self-compassion really, and just honoring self? In one sentence, what can they do right now to start?
One sentence. This is hard. Okay, one sentence, the one step that you can do, let's see if it's one sentence. Grab your journal or go for a walk, just be with yourself and practice self-forgiveness from any self-harming, self-negative, that's when I talk about harming, any self-harming thoughts or feelings, and allow that to go. That's the first step.
Beautiful. And then mine would be, once you've done that, come home and place your hand on your heart and close your eyes, take a big deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth, and this time as you do it, inhale, I am whole. And exhale, I let go of anything that doesn't serve me. And open your eyes and know you are wonderful.
Love, that's so powerful.
It is. It's so powerful just to come back into our bodies and just to reconnect. So always a good combo with you, Mel. Loving these little episodes of the evolution of your higher self. I think they're so helpful for us just to talk it out, you know, and step into our higher selves, but also for all of the women in the community who are listening. And if there is any topics that you would love us to cover, please reach out. You can find Mel at her Instagram page. I am Melissa Alves. My Instagram is Harmony Inspired Ayurveda. And we both have some free offerings. I have a free 5-part mini training on how to step into your higher self. So how to optimize your health, how to alchemize your health, how to embrace an empowered mindset, and how to step into your purpose on your dharmic path. So if you would love that training, please go over to my website and look on my freebies page. It's at the very top. And you will get a 5-part mini series. And Mel, what's your free freebie that you're giving the beautiful listeners today?
Yes, I've got my mini series, which is 3 pillars to heal trauma. So in there, I go through my methodology, my framework that I've created, that I've gone through personally, on how to be able to heal your trauma and the tools to take away to use. So it comes with, it's a 5-part mini series, and it comes with a really in-depth, beautiful workbook that you can take yourself through. So that there, if you go onto my Instagram page and click on the link in my bio, you'll be able to access that there.
Wonderful. And just before we started recording this episode, we were so excited chatting away, because we have just put down a deposit to hold the dates for our amazing Sacred the Retreat, coming back to self. So we are going to be running a 3-night retreat from February the 29th in 2024 to March the 3rd, 2024. So 3 nights in Northern New South Wales. And it is going to be amazing. We have been already planning this beautiful, beautiful retreat before we got to lock in those dates. So we have already got such an epic plan for you guys. So if you would like some more information about that, please reach out. We cannot wait. It's going to be so full of beautiful sacred goddess energy, lots of rituals, lots of coming back to self, lots of techniques and tools to be able to step into your higher self and just thrive as the beautiful, amazing person that you are.
I'm super excited. Thank you so much.
Thank you, beautiful. Namaste. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.